Our text is the gospel lesson today from the ninth chapter of Mark. In Jesus' name, amen. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Jesus has something important to tell us here, but in order for us to understand it, we're going to have to revisit our whole concept of salt. I mean, you go to the grocery store today, you'll find the salt in the spice aisle. And I mean, the most expensive things in the store are in that aisle. You can spend $100 a pound on some of those things. But down on the bottom shelf, there's the container of salt, about 50 cents. But it wasn't always that way, because in biblical times, it was quite valuable. Salt is good. It was good for cash. And Roman soldiers got part of their salary in salt. The Latin word for salt is sal. We still use it when we talk about our wages as salary. Salt isn't just good for making food taste good. Salt's also a preservative. In pre-refrigeration days, you had to have salt to preserve your food because life was very difficult if you didn't have it preserved with salt. Salt is good. It's necessary for health. Don't have enough salt in your diet, you're going to end up in the hospital with an electrolyte imbalance. Yeah, salt was so important that when Lewis and Clark did their exhibition across the United States and were going down the Columbia River, they knew they were in desperate need because they were running out of salt. Not only would their food be bland, but it was a health risk, and they knew it. So Clark exclaimed finally, "Ocean in view, oh the joy!" Because they spent a lot of their time on the Pacific that winter boiling down the salt water of the sea in order to have salt. Salt is good. It's also good for sacrifice. Yeah, you go through those sacrificial parts of the Old Testament and you find out that they were salting the sacrifices. Not just meat, but also grain, because it was to purify the sacrifice, to make it acceptable. Jesus says salt is good. He's kind of appealing to all of these benefits of salt, but perhaps most of all, he was appealing to the purifying qualities of salt. Salt is purifying. As Jesus said, everyone will be purified, will be salted with fire. You see, salt's a little crystal with kind of a fire inside. Just put some salt on your tongue. You can feel it burn. Or put salt on a cut or a wound somewhere. Feel it burn. It was done when you don't have antiseptic because it would help purify the wound. Fire is also purifying. In fact, it's used to burn away impurities when you refine metals. In the Old Testament, whenever God's people conquered a pagan temple or shrine, they would burn it to be able to purify it of its ritual impurities. When Jesus says everyone will be salted with fire, he's referring to the trials, the difficulties, the temptations which purify and refine them. Being salted is not pleasant, but Jesus desires to preserve us from the corruption of our age. Salt is like that, and we are like salt. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." That's what's behind that next curious statement that Jesus speaks. If salt has lost its saltiness, how will it be made salty again? That's hard for us to understand. I mean, we're used to, sodium chloride, the kind of stuff we get today, which is pure salt. You go buy a container of it, put it in your cupboard for 50 years, and it's still going to be salt. It may be a solid cake, but it's still salt. Well, you know, in Jesus' time, that wasn't so pure. The salt they mined from pits, they mined from marshes. It was, you know, harvested together with the impurities that came with the sea, with the dirt from the rocks it was scraped from, the algae that was there, and it didn't have much staying power. Let it be in contact with humidity, sun, heat, constant contact with the earth, and it would just dissolve and be full of impurities. The only thing you could do with it, put it out on the road to keep the dust down. It was worthless. There was no way to restore that stuff. Now, the Holy Spirit is the fire of the salt for God's people. When the fire of the Holy Spirit is driven out of us by our love for self, our love with the things of the world, our cultural accommodation with the world, we become just empty crystals. We have the form of godly salt of the earth, but denying the work, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. The salt can be leached out of us by the humidity of life without the Word of God. And we become flavorless, going through the motions without faith. We are hypocrites. In other words, we are actors that look like believers outwardly, but we have no faith. Even whole church bodies can become saltless by refusing to the salt of the Word of God to salt the world. We lose our saltiness if we refuse to stand up against evil. We refuse or we lose our saltiness if we cause one of the least in God's kingdom to lose their faith. When we accommodate ourselves to this world and claim to still be the true church, people stumble, people fall, people no longer are part of the faith, and they lose their faith. It is so dire that that whole rest of the gospel lesson used hyperbole about cutting off hands and feet and gouging out eyes simply as a way of saying, this is serious stuff. Don't lose your salt. Remain in the Word. Resist evil. Resist the temptations. You know, if a church body will say, all roads lead to God, or a Christian says such things, they have lost their Savior. Salt must purify. It must preserve. Salt substitute is not salt. Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with one another. That's Jesus' word to you. Even though a whole church body can lose its saltiness, Jesus wouldn't be talking about losing saltiness if he hadn't already salted you. Jesus has made you the salt of the earth. In fact, he is the one who has made you to be purified, to be as pure as salt can render you, because he was the one who gave the salted sacrifice. He's the one who purified you. His death on the cross purified you. He accomplished what all those salted sacrifices of the Old Testament promised, full and complete forgiveness of all sins. Now, by God's word and sacraments, that forgiveness, that purifying is given to us. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have salt in ourselves. When we forgive one another, we bring a purification and a peace that is from God. You know, earlier in our text, the disciples ask about this exorcist, unnamed, that was going around and casting out demons and just wasn't following with them. And they say, we got to stop the guy. Jesus says, no way. Nobody can cast out demons in my name and then later speak evil of me. He who is not against us is for us. That nameless exorcist had salt in himself. He had faith in Christ. He was acting like a believer in Christ. He was making peace, and he was pushing back the kingdom of darkness. Our second lesson, the epistle. James tells Christians how they can have peace with one another. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Having learned the joy of being cleansed, being free in Jesus, having pure salt, we also have the opportunity to be the very vessel to carry that forgiveness to others. But we must realize that salt has no power in itself. Our holiness, our forgiveness, our power came from Christ. The salt in us only has power because it comes from Christ. The salt of his sweat in Gethsemane, the salty blood he shed for us, these are what has won us forgiveness, filled us with salt, given us power to do battle against the powers of evil, to purify, to cleanse, to flavor, to preserve, and to forgive one another. The world around us leeches salt from us, but Christ salts us with his word and spirit to have peace with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.